12 through 17. And verses 12 and 13 of that chapter, I just simply wanted to call it headwinds. Because Paul wrote to Timothy and said that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving many and being deceived. Earlier, he said that they would be growing, but gaining knowledge, but never coming to the fullness of truth. And I thought about the headwinds that the church faces today. That we live in a world where there are people, plenty of people, that have forms of godliness. They look godly, they sound godly, they know all the church language. But they've never been able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I wondered why that is. There are probably, no doubt, thousands of answers. But I just have one that I will get to in a moment. But I thought about the culture that Paul wrote this in and that he wrote to Timothy. And I looked a little bit and I found that Rome had 12 major gods that they worshiped. And they had 20 other principal gods that were like lowercase gods. Greece had 12 major gods that they worshiped, but they had many regional gods that they worshiped. So worshiping was not the issue. It was who was being worshiped. They worshiped many, many gods, and even Rome, whenever Caesar died, he became a deity to the Romans. And so they worshiped plenty of gods. Not talking about the culture that they encountered outside of Rome and Greece that had their own idols and their own regional gods and their own gods that they worshiped. Worship has never been a problem. I told my Sunday school class today, and I know this might be extreme to us, but I remember watching an episode of The Amazing Race, if you ever watched that. And one of the stops on the race was in India, where they took the people on the race into a temple where the god that was worshipped were rats. The temple was filled with thousands of rats that ran free. They would bring offerings of milk to the rat gods and set the milk down so the rats could drink the milk as an offering to the god. They would literally get on their knees and lean over and kiss rats in acts of worship. But The Amazing Race went there and showcased that on their entertainment program. That is seen by a multicultural world as being open, being accepting, and loving everybody. That is seen by people that would say something like, well, at least they're worshiping. Believe it or not, there are people that think like that. They would say, well, at least they're allowing religion to impact and form their life. Yeah, there are people that talk like that. There are those that would say, yeah, but who are we to say? You know, I mean, we're Americans that live in the greatest country in the world, prosperous, and we got all this going on, and we can't be arrogant enough to say to some other culture, some other people, that you cannot do that, that that is wrong. It's the same argument that goes into the you can't help who you love stuff, that you just love who you love, and you can't help that. And who am I to say you can't love the person that you fall in love with? Who am I to say? Who am I to say that you cannot, that it's wrong for you to want to change your gender? Who am I to say that it's wrong to live in a certain lifestyle? Well, it ain't up to me to tell you that, but I am a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach an uncompromising gospel. And I say to the culture, I say to my church, I say to my community, that it's not what Steve says, it's what saith the word of Almighty God. And so whenever we preach this, we preach against headwinds of a culture that has no problem worshiping. When I was new, I mean, I was raised in this, but when I was got older and more mature, I mean, I thought, because I heard people say things like, well, the world don't like us because we're Pentecostal. And the world don't like us because the Bible says we're peculiar people. And all that kind of stuff. You know, but that ain't why the world don't like the church. The world don't like the church because we don't worship according to their drumbeat. The world don't like the church because we're bold enough to say that worshiping a rat is sin, that worshiping an idol is sin, that bowing to the culture gods are wrong, and that there's only one true God, one living God, one sovereign God that is able to save. And that's why the world hates us, because we won't compromise. We won't bow and say, well, who am I to say? I've heard Pentecostal Christians say things like this about their homosexual family. Well, they pray every day. They read their Bible. And it wouldn't be the life I would choose for them, but who am I? I tell you who we are. We love people. Can I get an amen? You know, we love them however they walk through the door. However they walk through the door, we're going to love them. We're going to throw our arms around their neck. We're going to welcome them to the Berea Church of God. We're going to kiss them on the cheek. And we're going to say, bless you. We're glad you're here in the name of the Lord. I don't care how you live, what kind of baggage you bring through the door. However, do not expect to be coddled when you come about lifestyles that are contrary to what saith the word of Almighty God. And the world are never going to receive that. No wonder we're hated. Because of the exclusive message of the church. Rome crucified Christians because they preached that Jesus was God alone. That there was salvation in his name only. That there was no other way to eternal life except through him. They preached the message that was laid out in the law. When God spoke to Moses and Moses wrote and recorded for us in Exodus 20 and verse 3, where he said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. They preached the message that we still preach today, that Jesus said to Thomas when he said, Lord, will you show us the way or show us the Father? And he said, Thomas, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he further went on and told Thomas, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to God by kissing a rat or bringing a rat milk. You can't get to God by bowing at some idol that somebody made up in their image of what God is supposed to look like. You cannot get to heaven by bowing to the culture of the world. And saying, well, the world will never have the kind of persecution that is talked about in this text. Well, we live in America, and I'm glad for the United States of America. I appreciate this country more than I could ever, ever, ever say. And I appreciate the safeguards we have, and I appreciate the laws that protect us. But I don't know how deep you're paying attention, but our country's changing fast. Things are getting and going to become much more difficult for the body of Christ. You get ready. Laws are being passed already. The governor of New Jersey just this week signed a law that made it against the law to pray too close to an abortion clinic. That if you pray too close to an abortion clinic, you can be arrested. That was just passed this week. You say, well, Brother Hobbs, that you know, that ain't that big a deal. Maybe not in your world, but it sure is in mine. Because we're not limited by where we can pray. I wish the church would give me a good amen. We're not limited by where we can pray. We're not limited by where we can represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're not limited by that. I'm not talking about being a jerk. I'm not talking about yelling at people. I'm not talking about trying to rub their sin and their nose in their sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about lifting up the name of the Lord wherever we are and whatever we're close to. And you say, and we think it will never happen here. Well, it is happening here. Not too many years ago. I mean, let me just jump forward. Does anybody in the house not think that the murder of Charlie Kirk was not persecution? That was persecution right before our eyes. A man of God gunned down simply because of what he believed. And it wasn't only because of what Charlie Kirk believed, but it was because of who Charlie Kirk represented. Come on now, somebody. Oh, Shabbat Habai. You know what the devil's trying to do? Shut you up. You know what the devil's trying to do? Shut me up. You know, the devil is never going to be able to cause us to lock the doors and not have church. But what he can do, if we allow him, is to keep the message of this glorious gospel in this church. You know, the devil don't care how much we run laps around and how much we talk in tongues and how high we, and the goosebumps when we sing. That don't scare the devil. But I tell you what does is a Holy Ghost filled church going outside the walls of the church and proclaiming Jesus is Lord. That upsets him. And no wonder he wants us quiet, and persecution is intended to make us quiet. It's intended to shut the church down. But the church preached Christ and him crucified. Paul preached to the Ephesian Christians in Acts 19, Ephesian believers, and preached to them that they should believe on the one that would come, and that would be Jesus Christ. So friends, I don't know where you're putting your faith today. I don't know where you're putting your hope today. I don't know what is causing you to be able to sleep good at night. But if it's not in Jesus, the risen Lord, your hope is in the wrong place. Donald Trump ain't your protector. Conservative politicians are not our protectors. Our hope is not built on anything worldly or anything that man has his hand in. Come on, somebody. Our hope and faith is in a God of glory that created you and that created me and the world that we live in. So faith has got to be in him. And yeah, we face the headwinds. Yes, the journey can be smooth, and I thank God for smooth journeys. But yes, the journey can be rough. But God, the Lord has promised us he would be with us through it all. I love Andre Crouch. He's gone on to heaven. But back when I was saved, first saved, as an 18-year-old boy, Andre Crouch was a red-hot gospel singer, and he was many years after that, but I love music. And Andre Crouch just sang the kind of music I love, and everything he sang, I think, was original that he wrote, except maybe one or two songs that I'm aware of. He wrote from his heart. He wrote from his experience. And he wrote about his own sin, his own backsliding and coming back to God and all of that. He was wonderful. But he talked about his life and his journey in a song called Through It All. The song says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I did not know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all. Do y'all know that song? Do y'all know that song? Let's sing the chorus. Through it all. Sing it with me. I'm not a soloist. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Let's go to Nashville and cut a record. In that life, has anybody experienced that? Life full of tears and sorrows, life filled with questions about how you're going to face tomorrow, and life when you didn't really know what was right and what was wrong, but did you find that in every situation that life brought you, that God is with you? Hallelujah to Jesus. Will you give Him a great big praise offering right now? Headwinds. Tom, would you come up, please? Headwinds. A headwind is simply a contrary wind. In the story where the disciples in Matthew 14 was told to get on a boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they got in the boat and they started rowing to the other side, the Bible says that they had a hard time because the winds were, King James uses the word contrary. Didn't say it was a storm, just said it was a contrary wind. Contrary wind is simply a wind that blew in your face, a headwind, that kept you from making progress. When I preach that, I like to say they rowed three rows forward and got blew two back. Three forward, two back. Two forward, one back. Barely making progress. Well, I'll confess to you, that has been me many times in my life. Barely making progress. But guess what the key word is there? Progress. You don't have to be able to outrun. You just have to just keep moving. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Don't ever throw your hands up and say, I'm out of here. Don't ever do that. Never give up. Just keep making progress, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get there. You're going to get there. And so, yeah, the headwinds are blowing. Yes, we're living in the last days. Yes, the challenges are many. But we're going to make it because of the God we serve, the Savior who loves us, the risen Christ who conquered death, hell, and the grave for our salvation. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost has moved here mightily today, but I don't want to just talk to you and then tell you to go to lunch. I want to close out and minister to you. I don't know all of you. Some of you I barely know. Some of you I've just met. So even you that I've known for a long time, Roy, I've known you for 34 years. Roy was one of the very few that was here 34 years ago when our family moved here. Known him a long time. Daryl, I've known you a long time because of your mom and dad. Brother and sister Witt, Daryl's parents, were here 32 years ago when we moved to the Berea Church of God. What beautiful Christians they were. And that's how I met Daryl. So I've known Daryl a long time. Lewis, I've known you less, what, 5 years? Known Lewis 5 years. I've known Janine. I met you. You came in the 90s, wasn't it? I believe in the 90s. Kelsey, you were a teenager. I got to baptize you and got to marry you too. in the Sunday school room. I mean, see, I build all these great relationships with you because God has allowed Donna and me to serve here. But I still don't know everything about you. I don't know all of your journey. I don't know all that you carry. I don't know. But you know the great thing about being a preacher is that I don't have to know, because I know that God knows. And I know that God knows how to move where you are when you need him to move. And one of my major jobs when I lead a worship service is to be sensitive to what God wants to do, when he wants to do it, and do my best just to step back and let God do what only he can. Now, God has moved, but I'm just not going to leave here today without just saying to you that if you've come today and you brought that in with you and you don't feel like or believe or whatever word you want to use that God has lifted that and that things are cool and good and you're on the right track, the headwinds are blowing but you're making progress, God's with you on the journey, good and bad travel, God is still with you and you're going forward. If you're not there, I'm going to believe that right now you're going to get there. Faith. I believe God for you. I believe God for you right now. And I want you, you know, we're supposed to lay hands on people when we pray. And I don't ever like to make you uncomfortable. And if you're uncomfortable, don't do it. But if you don't mind, lay hands on somebody next to you just by touching them. Take their hand, lay your hand on their shoulder, however you want to do it. But lay hands on somebody by you right now. If you don't know their name, ask them their name. Now, I want you to call their name out to God as we pray. As we pray, I want you to mention their name to God. And I want you to say, Father God, in Jesus' name, be glorified in, and call their name out and say, Father God, lift everything in their life and do what only you can to bring them where they need to be with you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on one another right now. Shamoto nekramaramasite. We lay hands on one another right now, Father. We lay our hands on our brothers and our sisters and our friends. We call their name out to you right now. That whatever they need to happen for them, that God, you will do it. That you will lift the burden, take away the sin, strengthen the spirit, and help them to get where they want to be. If they didn't want to be there, Jesus, they would not be here this morning. They're here this morning because something inside of all of us know we need this. So God, do it right now for your people. In the name of Jesus, I speak over every person right now. And I agree with every individual praying right now that lives will be set free and healed and delivered by the power of Jesus' name. And amen. Now, will you just worship the Lord? Thank him. Praise him. Praise him. Let him hear you. Lift your voice and just give God some praise. Just honor the Lord with your voice and thank him for moving on your behalf right now. Shanto moka yena namasite. The Holy Ghost is moved for you. Hallelujah. 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 Baby girl, sing that song. Then we'll go to the house. I love this song, guys. I love this song.